Amen. Again, I want to express my appreciation for your presence here today. I do need your prayers. I'll be so happy when we can recover from this pandemic. I enjoy seeing every one of you. I love to shake your hand. I can tell you, though, without shaking your hand, that I love you. And I appreciate this church and what it's stood for nearly 100 years. And I want to read a passage of Scripture this morning. It'll be found in the 85th division of the Psalms. I'm just going to read the first 7 verses. If you have your Bible and you care to follow along, I'd be glad for you to do so. Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquities of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from the fierceness of Thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause Thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt Thou be angry with us forever? Wilt Thou draw out Thine anger to all generations? Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? Show us mercy, O Lord, and grant us Thy salvation. Now that's my lesson for today. And I pray that God will bless the reading of His Word and that it'll be for our good and for His honor and glory. I want to use as my subject for today, revive us again. I don't know if this is necessarily appropriate for the occasion, but in my opinion, this subject would be appropriate for any occasion. We need revival. And I love our country. I love the freedom and the liberty that we've enjoyed for these many years. Though we've had many battles to fight, we've been in wars, and we've had other problems that we've had to contend with down through the years. But I want to thank God today for America. I want to thank Him for the privilege to have been born in America and to live in America, for the opportunities and the privileges that it has afforded unto me. And I want it to continue. I want this to continue to be known as the land of the free and the home of the brave. And I want us to pray for our leaders. And for those who are in authority, the Bible tells us to do that. One of the first things that we're commanded to do in the book of Timothy, as Paul instructed the young preacher Timothy, was that prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men. He said, for those who are in authority, the reason for it is that we might lead a quiet and a peaceable life. And so I want you to pray that God will continue His blessings upon America. Although sometimes it's hard for us to ask that, knowing the rebellion and the disobedience and that is prevalent in our land. It seems like it would be hard for God to bless us in our disobedience. So I pray that we'll return to God, and that we will experience a revival in this land. Benjamin Franklin said this a long time ago, "Only virtuous people are capable of freedom." He said, "As nations become more corrupt and vicious, they have more need of masters." And that term virtuous means people of high moral values. Only people of high moral values are capable of freedom. And I want to explain that like this. You know, the Bible says that we should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. And he said that is the first and the greatest commandment. And he said the second is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, it takes people of high moral values to do that, doesn't it? You know, the Bible teaches us that God gave the Ten Commandments. Now, here's the masters. You know, we have more need of laws to govern us and to keep us in the straight and narrow way. If we're not willfully voluntarily obedient to God and love one another and treat one another as we should. But anyway, the Ten Commandments, God said, you shall have no other God before me. You should not bow down and worship any God, any image. Thou shalt not make an image and bow down before it and worship it. He said that we should reverence Him. God is holy, and God deserves our reverence. And so I pray today that God will help us. You know, those commandments say that we should remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. They say, honor your father and mother. They say, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, you know. All of these laws were given because men are sinners and they're not naturally virtuous. It's easy for us to sin and to bring, dishonor to God. And it does. Our disobedience to the laws of God dishonors the God that created us, that gave us life, and that gave us an existence here in the world. We need to honor the law of God. The law of God is good. The Bible says it is. It is just and it is good. And the Bible teaches us that we should honor the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We should recognize His deity. He is God. He is not just another man. He is God's only begotten Son. And we should honor Him. And we should honor this book. This is the inspired Word of God. I believe that it is infallible. I believe that it is unchanging. I believe that it is the Word of the everlasting God. And we need to honor God and honor His Word. And we need to love one another, and we need to respect one another. And So we know that America has been a good nation. It has been. It has given many opportunities to people. You know that other countries have not been able to afford. But it's been a good nation. And one of the reasons it's been a good nation is because of the fact that the gospel has been freely preached. We have here in this country, even in the First Amendment, you know, we have religious liberty. We have the right to assemble. We have the right to worship. We have the right to disagree even with each other as far as religion is concerned. And I'm thankful that we have that liberty afforded us by the Constitution and the Bill of Rights that were given to us. So America's been good because the gospel has gone forth from America. I think it's been the greatest evangelistic country that the world's ever known. I think it has been sent missionaries to heathen nations, and people have heard the gospel, and they have been born again. They've been saved by God's grace, and because of that, they too have a home in heaven when this life is over. And God, the Lord Jesus, instructed His church to do that very thing. Go into all the world. Go to every nation. Teach the Word of God so they can be saved, and so then they can in turn teach their own people of the Word of God so that they can be saved. And I believe that's been one of the things that's made America as great as it has been. We know that there has been a great falling away. The Bible tells us, in the last days, Paul said, that there would be a great falling away. It says that the Spirit expressly speaks. Now, that's very forcefully the Word of God that came to the apostle concerning the future. He said that in the last days, the Spirit expressly speaketh that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, and they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away from the truth and be turned unto fables. And we know that we're living in a time when people don't reverence God. Many people don't. Now, some do. I believe we still maybe, hopefully, have a majority. I don't know if we do or not. We may not have. Because people have been brainwashed. And they've been taught, that the Bible is not true. And that, God did not create man. And God did not create the world. And all of these things. And people's hearts have been turned away from God. There has been a great falling away. And even among scriptural churches, there's been a falling away. We need to come back to God. And we need to be revived again. Now the Lord, as David said here, Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. There's not anybody here that can say that God has not been good to us. He has blessed us. We are the land of plenty. Perhaps we feed the majority of the world. But these things are, God has been good to us. And He has blessed us in these things. He has forgiven us many times of our iniquities. He has sent revival. In history, we read about the Great Awakenings. I believe there were at least three that I've read about. One started in England, and it spread over into the British colonies. And there was a Great Awakening. Jonathan Edwards and some of the other preachers, they were strong preachers. And they preached, Jonathan Edwards preached a sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. You know, a lot of people, even if they believe that there is a God, they don't believe that God will be just and that God will punish sin. But I want you to know that God will punish sin. We're all going to be judged according to the Word of God. Let me turn over here just for a moment and read something from our Articles of Faith. It's regarding the Scriptures, the Holy Word of God. We believe that the Holy Bible was written by men divinely inspired, a perfect treasure of heavenly instruction. That it has God for its author, salvation for its end, and truth without any mixture of error for matter. Folks, I believe that. I believe that. It goes on and says that it reveals the principles by which God will judge us, and therefore is and shall remain to the end of the world the true center of Christian union and the supreme standard by which all human conduct, creeds, and opinions should be tried. So we're going to stand before God and we're going to give an answer to Him and we're going to be judged out of the things that are written in the Bible. The Word of God, the book of all books, the book that's still true. Though some don't believe it and they try to discredit it, but the Word of God is still going to be standing when all of them and their opinions have vanished from the earth. The Bible said, and Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so we need a revival. We need to turn back to God. We need to turn back to the Word of God. We need to turn back to the principles of the laws of God. And we need to live according to the way that God has taught us to live. Now, when I say we need revival, I don't mean we need evangelistic crusades. I believe we need a revival. There are a lot of intellectual preachers that are out in the world, and they attract great crowds of people. They present the gospel as far as the Lord Jesus is concerned and Him being the Savior of the world. But then instead of telling sinners how to seek the Lord for salvation, they will instruct them, do what I say do, when they've done what they say do, then they profess for them. I was at a singing one time, and there was a young man came to the altar to pray, and he was broken. I mean, he was deeply convicted. It was visible that he had great trouble and sorrow in his heart. And before he could get to the altar, the preacher met him and talked to him a few minutes, and then the preacher professed him. He said, I want us to thank God. This young man has just been saved, And that young man was still in just as much trouble as he was when he went down there. Now, folks, we don't need that kind of evangelism. We don't need it. We need the Word of God to be preached in power and in demonstration of the Holy Spirit. We need people to be convicted by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And I want you to know the Bible, there is a theology regarding salvation. And I want to talk to you about that just for a few moments, if the Lord will help me to do it. And don't get scared to death by the word theology. That is a study of the Word of God. That's what it has reference to. And God's Word is plain concerning the plan of salvation. During those years of awakening in the British colonies and here in Kentucky, there was a great awakening here in Kentucky. I read about a young man, he was 20 years old, and he attended one of the services at that great awakening. And he said there were 7 preachers preaching at the same time. There was about 20,000 people that were gathered there. Some of them had come, you know, and they came and stayed, you know. They didn't go home every night when the service was over. They stayed. And in various locations, there was 7 preachers that were preaching. And he said some were singing, and some were praying, and some were testifying. And he said some were crying out to God. They were convicted of their sins. They knew they were sinners, and they needed to be saved. And they were calling out to God to have mercy on them and save their soul. And he said that while this was going on, he said something got a hold of him. Something got a hold of him. And I want to tell you what it was. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that got a hold of him. You know, and he said, I began to tremble. And he said, I couldn't hardly stand on my feet. I was burdened. And he said, I began to pray. I felt an overwhelming need to pray and ask God to forgive me and to save my soul. Now, that's the kind of revival we need today. That's what we need. We need to return to God. But anyway, I wanted to talk about their preaching focused on salvation. Focused on salvation. And now the theology of salvation in the Bible begins with conviction. Conviction. Well, what is conviction, preacher? Well, I'm going to try to tell you. I may not be able to explain it like I'd like to. But the condition of conviction is where a sinner realizes they're guilty of sin. And they are condemned. They're under condemnation. That is, they have trouble and sorrow about being a lost sinner, about being separated from God, about the need to find forgiveness, about the need, my friend, escape the damnation of hell. And I'm going to tell you, hell's real. Hell's real. This is what Jesus said. Fear not them that are able to kill the body, and afterwards they have no more power. You can get killed. People can kill you. They can snuff out your life. But after they've done that, there's not another thing in the world they can do to you. But listen, you need to fear God, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And the Bible says that hell hath enlarged herself without measure. And I want to say this. God is not willing that any should perish. God does not want anyone to die and go to hell. There has not been a person so mean, my friend, that God would not save them. God is in the business of saving sinners, and that's what He wants to do. The Bible said this. If I can get it started, it's in 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now that's what God wants out of every person that ever lived in this world. He wants them to repent. He wants them to be saved. He takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But He does take pleasure in the death of His saints. And so He wants them to be saved. And so this conviction that comes upon a person, it includes the fear of dying and going to hell. That's what conviction is. And it's brought about through the preaching of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible, 16th chapter of John, it makes that very clear. Where Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. The Comfort's the Holy Spirit. He said, and if I go away, I'll send Him. And when He's come, He'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. The Holy Spirit reproves, convicts, makes known your sinful condition. It brings the reality of being condemned to your heart. It brings the reality, my friend, of being separated from God. And so conviction is a part of the theology of being saved. Following conviction, my friend, is repentance. What is repentance? Well, repentance is the condition of being brought under conviction to the point that you're able to turn away from your sins and to turn to God with all of your heart. Now, repentance, I've said this before. The best definition I have of repentance is this. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. And it says there in that verse of Scripture. I'm going to have to turn to it. I'm going to have to turn to it. I just can't start it. Seek the Lord. No, that's not it. All right, I'll get it. Looking in the wrong chapter. Isaiah. Isaiah 55. Here's what it said. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Now that's the best definition I know of repentance. Seeking the Lord. Turning to the Lord with all of your heart. Calling upon Him. Forsaking your own ways. Your own thoughts. Just trusting in the Lord completely. Relying upon Him to save your soul. And the Lord will forgive your sins. He will. He is merciful. And He will forgive your sins. So let's go a little further. I don't want to preach too long, but I do want to get this in. Following repentance is conversion. There's a change that takes place. There is a change that a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, they become a new creature. There is a radical change that takes place in the heart of a sinner that becomes convicted and repents of their sins. God said in His Word that He would give them a new heart and a new spirit. And in Corinthians He said, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. I mean, there's a change. It is not, you know, just believing what the Bible says and making a profession that I believe what the Bible says about Jesus. You have to believe that before you ever get started. I tell you, conversion, it changes a person. He'll never be the same. He'll see things differently. He will have a different outlook on life because of the change that has been wrought. We used to sing an old song when I was a kid in church. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. You know, there is a wonderful change that takes place when you're saved. And God takes out the guilt and the condemnation. He takes away the sorrow. He takes away the fear. And He replaces it with something else. He puts His love in your heart. The Bible calls it being made a partaker of the divine nature. God, His love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We have that peace with God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God, you know. Not only do we have peace with God, but we have joy in the Lord. There's a change that takes place. And following that change that takes place is assurance. Assurance. We sing Fanny Crosby's song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, and lost in His love. You know, there's assurance. Now, this is what the Bible says. John 5:24. It says, "He that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but has passed out of the state of being dead in trespasses and in sin and into the state of being forgiven and being an heir of God." So, Paul says this, you know. He said, "Who can separate us from the love of God? Can tribulation or distress? Shall famine or wickedness?" I could turn to the 8th chapter of Romans and read that, but I don't think I will. But he says, "What can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord?" And he goes on to say, there's nothing that can. You know, salvation gives assurance. If you've experienced being born again, a new life started in your heart. It was eternal life, everlasting life. And it is, we know that by the Holy Spirit. The Bible said we know that we have passed unto death from death unto life because we love the brethren. That love of God is put in our heart. But that other verse that I was going to say, His Spirit, that's Romans 8 and 16, I believe. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, folks, we need a revival of that kind that'll bring that kind of results. You know, I don't know of anything that's going to turn our nation around as it should be turned other than a great revival. God's people and the people of this world are going to have to be so affected by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that they will be converted and changed and become new creatures. And then we'll be able to love one another and we'll be able to live together in peace. There's a lot more I could say. I do want to say this. In the book of Jeremiah, the prophet said this. He said, seek the old paths, wherein's the good way. And the people of that day said, we will not walk in those ways. We will not. And then a little further on in the book of Jeremiah, he said, my people have committed two evils. Two evils. Number one, he said, they have forsaken the Lord. He said, they have forsaken the fountain of living water. Now, Jesus is still the well. In the fourth chapter of John, that Samaritan woman, she went to the well to draw water. Jesus said, if you'd asked me, I'd give you water. I'd give you water. So you'd never thirst again. He said, the water that I'd give you would be in you. It'd be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. An artesian well just keeps overflowing. There's no end to it. But he said, you have forsaken the fountain of living water. And you've hewed out cisterns. Cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Now, we used to have a cistern at a place where we lived when I was a child. And we caught the rainwater. You know, when it would rain, it'd run off the house. And after it had rained a little while and the dirt and everything was washed off the house, you put a downspout, into the cistern. And, of course, that was not living water. That was not flowing water. And so cisterns, sometimes they crack and they break. And all the water leaks out of them, you know. But Jesus said, this water that I'll give you, it'll be a well of water. And it'll never cease to flow. Now, he said, they've committed two evils. They've forsaken the right way. They have forsaken the way of God. And they've turned to their own ways, you know. That's where our nation is at today, folks, to a great extent. People have forsaken the right way. And they're seeking their own ways. And they don't want to be subject to the laws of the land. Don't want to be subject to the will of God. You know, they just want to do whatever they want to do. And I pray God will give us a revival that people will turn back to God. Turn back to God. Well, I'm done. I pray the Lord will bless the message. Anyone have a word?